This is State of the Union on 91.5 WNYE FM, the District Council 37 radio show. I'm your host, Chris Policano. DC 37 is New York City's largest public employee union with 125,000 members and nearly 50,000 retirees. We're part of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, also known as AFSCME. We air on Sundays at 8 p.m. We rebroadcast on Wednesdays at 1:30 p.m. We're also available on podcast. Simply go to the podcast app on your iPhone or iPad and search for DC 37 State of the Union. And DC 37 members, there are now more ways to stay in touch with your union. You can follow us on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Always check out the website, www.dc37.net. Call the hotline at 212-815-7555 to stay in touch with DC. What's the latest that's happening with DC 37? And if you have any comments about our show, please drop us a line at stateoftheunion@dc37.net. Bottom feeder debt collection companies are back to their old tricks of victimizing borrowers, this time by filing debt collection lawsuits against them for old credit card debts. Joining us tonight to discuss this problem is Municipal Employees Legal Services Supervising Attorney of the Debt and Bankruptcy Unit, Sheldon Barish. Good evening, Sheldon.
Good evening. Nice to be here.
This is a, I saw this piece in Crane's New York Business last week suggesting that an old problem was had raised its head, but as this means that it's an old problem, and it really has probably hasn't gone away.
No, it's been a problem that's been here for many, many years, and we've been dealing with it with our members who have to confront being sued or being garnished by lawsuits brought by companies that they know nothing about.
Let's take a step back. How does this work? Take your time and explain to us how our members or other folks are being victimized by these companies.
Well, we're talking about debt buyers, companies that buy old debts from various companies like Fingerhut, The Gap, Dress Barn. And these companies no longer really want to collect on these debts. So what they do is they sell portfolios of these debts for millions and millions of dollars for pennies on the dollar. And then these companies that buy the debts then pursue people and collect the, and try to collect the full amount by suing them, by calling them, by sending them letters, doing all kinds of things.
And then the people who are being sued don't even know that this has happened to them in many cases?
In many cases, that's true. There are people out there, process servers, who serve summonses and then file affidavits with the court, and oftentimes they lie. And this is called sewer service. But once they do that, they file affidavits with the court and say they serve these papers, and then the companies that sue them can pursue judgments to garnishments to bank restraints and all kinds of things without people even knowing that they've been sued.
So I made a purchase at The Gap 20 years ago, and my income was a lot less. I didn't know what was going on. I wasn't paying my debts. So whatever happened, it happened 20 years ago. Now somebody is taking that old debt because The Gap has stopped trying to collect on that original debt. And so now some company is saying, Chris Policano, we're suing you. We've processed you. They don't even know where I am anymore. And they're messing with me in my current life is what's happening.
That's absolutely correct. And what we try to do, especially with members of DC 37, they have lawyers to help them. But there are a lot of people out there who don't have lawyers, and they're totally taken advantage of because they go to court, they're opposed by an attorney, and oftentimes they're urged to settle, to pay the amount that they allege they owe, and they're totally rolled over by attorneys in court. People who are represented by lawyers, like people who are members of DC 37, have a certain advantage, and we can level the playing field because our members do have lawyers who can protect them.
The Municipal Employees Legal Services, to avail yourself of those services, we should call the union at 212-815-1111. Are there interests, penalties that go along with this operation that these debt collection companies are... do you wind up paying more than you should for the debt that you owe?
Well, oftentimes, yes. Oftentimes, these are old debts that go back many, many years. And interest is continuing to run. If they got a judgment against you, say, 9 years ago, interest has been running at 9%, which means the debt has now doubled in amount. And these debt buyers can pursue the full amount, including interest. And that's what they try to do.
What do Mel's lawyers do for folks who get into this kind of problem?
Well, we take things as they come. Oftentimes, people come to us with garnishments ongoing or restraints on their bank account, which indicate that someone has a judgment against them. So what we try to do is we try to get copies of the court records, see what's involved with the case, see if what we can do to get that case back into court, to get the case back to square one, and then we will fully represent on the case going forward.
Do you have any idea why a New York City business publication would pick last week to publish a story about this? Is this something that you folks are seeing more of recently than in the past?
No, we've seen this ongoing for many, many years. The magazine just picked it up because it has become of interest to the public. But from our perspective, we've seen this ongoing for many, many years, and we've dealt with it for many, many years.
We're talking with Sheldon Barish. He is the supervising attorney of the Debt and Bankruptcy Unit of the Municipal Employees Legal Services, which provides legal services to DC 37 members. If you are in need of legal services and you're a DC 37 member, please call 212-815-1111. On average, how many cases like this do you guys handle a year?
We handle about 1,000 of these cases each year.
And let me ask you something separate from this. I wake up in the morning and I turn on the radio and there's someone who's telling me that I've got my credit card debt. I don't have to pay my credit card debt. I can call this number and get that taken care of. What are they really offering? This is a total non sequitur, but I'm talking to the fellow who runs the debt and bankruptcy unit, and I'm hearing these commercials every morning when I wake up, and they're telling me that if I have thousands of dollars worth of credit card debt, I do not have to pay it, and that I can have it by calling a number. And I'm a little suspicious of the number. I'm wondering what you have to think about that.
Well, a lot of these companies are called debt settlement companies, and what they advertise is that they will contact your creditors and work out arrangements for you to pay it off, reduce the amount involved, reduce the interest. It's a total scam from what we've seen. Clients who've called us who have tried it have advised us that they pay huge amounts in fees and their credit card balances never decline. They stay the same. They just don't work.
And talking about the issue of consumers and debt, folks who have gotten themselves into debt problems. Are there workshops or anything else that folks can, that you're aware of, that folks can take to get smarter about what to do about staying out of debt?
We at Mel's, we have a number of workshops that we arrange throughout the year, and members should be aware of them. Check on PEP, because we do have seminars and workshops in budgeting, bankruptcy, debt collection. All kinds of things.
We've been talking about why members might need legal representation when they get into this mess. I have a first question is, when a debt collection company does this, and I, Chris Policano, have been targeted by this debt collection company, they will find me and they will notify me and there will be something that I will have in my hand that I should be taking to a lawyer at Mel's if I'm a member of DC 37?
Well, in theory, that's the way it should be done. A lawsuit starts when a summons is served. And once a summons is served, that means that there's a legal proceeding going on. Someone's trying to collect money. Unfortunately, lots of times, summonses are served by process servers who lie about serving the summonses. And once they do that, the process starts, but people have not been notified. And judgments can go on from there. Now, if someone receives a summons, they have to respond to it, either by getting a lawyer or by going to court by themselves. Going to court by themselves is problematic because they're up against an attorney who's representing a company that's going to try to prove their case, and it's very difficult to negotiate with them because there are lots of things that lawyers can do. People who are members of DC 37 do have access to lawyers who know how to handle these cases. As part of these cases, if someone's received a summons, we're going to respond to that summons. We're going to ask for documents. We're going to ask for documents that would enable them to prove their case. Lots of times, these debt buyers don't have those documents. They can't prove their case. And many times, these cases just go away. But if they don't go away, we go to court with our clients and make them prove their case in front of a judge. Now, lots of times, if people don't go to court, default judgments are entered against them, and the companies do not have to prove their case. That gives a tremendous advantage to people who do have lawyers who know how to handle those cases from the very beginning. We ask for documents. We make sure that they have the documents that they can use to prove their case. In many of the cases, they don't have these documents. As part of the business model of these companies who buy debts, they don't get a lot of documents to prove their case. All they get is a name, an address, a company, an account number, and amount.
And they're gambling on you're not being able to get the legal representation that would protect you. I mean, part of the calculation of their business model is these folks are not going to be able to afford or not going to be able to be inclined to go out and hire a lawyer to protect their interests.
That's correct. When they buy this portfolio of debts, they buy a portfolio, say, worth about $10 million. What they buy it for like 5 cents on the dollar. So it's not much of a gamble. They're not paying very much for a huge amount of debt, but then they have the right to collect the full amount on these debts, and that's what they do. So if they lose, they don't lose a whole lot of money. There's a lot of upside to what they get. The upside is that they can collect the full amount of that $10 million, not just the $500,000 that they paid for these debts. So the upside is great, and there's no risk to them.
Members of DC 37, if you are facing debt issues, concerns about possibly facing bankruptcy, please contact the Municipal Employees Legal Services at 212-815-1111. Another reason why it's important to be a member of the union. Is there something else you wanted to add to that?
No, I hope our members call us because we've been very successful in dealing with these cases. We level the playing field. We make sure that every one of our members is represented by a lawyer, and they go up against another lawyer, and we've had a very excellent success rate in handling those cases and resolving them, making them go away.
Sheldon Barish, thanks for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
Were you a September 11th responder or volunteer? Were you present at the dust cloud on 9/11? Do you live, work, or go to school in the New York City disaster area on 9/11 or in the following months? Do you now suffer from problems such as chronic cough, shortness of breath, anxiety, depression, or have other symptoms? If so, you may be eligible for the World Trade Center Health Program and could receive medical monitoring and treatment at no out-of-pocket cost to you. To learn more about the program and get an application, go to www.cdc.gov/WTC or call 1-888-982-4748. If you were there, you deserve care. Call today. 1-888-982-4748. 1-888-982-4748. If you were there, you deserve care.
We're back. This is State of the Union, the DC 37 radio show on 91.5 WNYE FM. Recently, AFSCME, the National Union of DC 37, held the 43rd convention in Boston. Thousands of AFSCME sisters and brothers gathered to discuss strategies to strengthen the labor movement and our own union in a post-Janus v. AFSCME world. AFSCME President Lee Saunders gave a rousing and inspiring keynote address to the delegates. Tonight, we feature highlights of that speech. Let's take a listen.
Welcome. Welcome to the great city of Boston, sisters and brothers. Let's give a big shout out to our hosts, Frank Maroney and AFSCME Council 93. And a very special welcome to all of you who've never been to our convention before. And get this, sisters and brothers. 1,000 delegates here this week are first-time attendees. 1,000. You know what? That just goes to show you the growing strength and the vitality of our great union. The CEOs and the corporate elites probably thought we were going to wave the white flag of surrender. But we've got a message for them, strong and loud and clear. We are more energized, we are more galvanized than ever before, and we are ready to kick some ass. The more they come after us, the more we push back. The more they try to keep us down, the more, the higher, the further we rise up. Regardless of the challenges we confront, whatever obstacles are thrown in our path, no matter what, sisters and brothers, we never quit. And it's fitting that we gather here in Boston at this pivotal moment in our union's history. You know, in the 18th century, it was in this city that great patriots organized and agitated for freedom, rising up against tyranny and oppression, taking a stand against taxation without representation, even tossing 342 chests of tea into the harbor. It was a powerful demonstration of collective action. It lit the spark that led to the American Revolution and the birth of a new country that would become the world's beacon of freedom and democracy. 2.5 centuries later, we are in a struggle for our freedom, the freedom of all working people to earn a decent living and retire with dignity, the freedom to negotiate with the boss for a fair return on our work, to build power in numbers and stand together in a strong union. 19 days ago, the United States Supreme Court took aim at our freedom with a 5-4 decision in Janus versus AFSCME Council 31. And we all know, sisters and brothers, where this case came from and what it is all about. It came from the wealthy and the well-connected who want to burn our union to the ground. And it's all about rigging the system so billionaires can take more for themselves while kicking working families right in the teeth. But if they think we're going to roll over, if they think this is going to slow us down or shut us up, if you think we're going to let 5 unelected men in robes steal our freedom, they've got a big surprise coming, because AFSCME is on the move. Because when the stakes are high and the pressure is on, AFSCME does not cower and retreat. We don't run and hide. We rise up. AFSCME rises up. In the immediate wake of the Janus decision, AFSCME members are rising up to show resilience and loyalty and sticking with their union. And we're getting reports from all across the country of former fee payers reaching out to our affiliates and saying, I want to become a member. A former fee payer named Erica Host, an Illinois state employee, recently wrote a column saying that she gladly opted in when our representatives knocked on her door. I didn't have to think twice, she said. She said this, sign me up because I'm with you. I joined the union, she said, because it's an organization that is dedicated to advocating for the rights and well-being of working people. And I am a working person. As I travel the country and talk to members, you know what I see? I see defiance. I see determination. I've been to Illinois, where we've gone toe-to-toe against a billionaire governor who spends his days demeaning our work and our service and his nights dreaming about crushing our union. His time is up. I've been to Iowa, where we have fought back against a ruthless assault by the right-wing legislature and governor. When they enacted a law requiring rigged recertification elections with each new contract, guess what we did? Guess what Council 61 did? They stepped up and won 99% of those elections. Council 61 rising up. And I've been to the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, where SPU Council 95 continues to organize even in the face of unprecedented hardship. They've hung tough in the face of 2 devastating hurricanes and attacks on their pensions, their livelihoods, and their freedom. You know what? If they don't let 150-mile-an-hour winds stop them, they sure as hell aren't going to let 1 Supreme Court decision stop them. They rise up! AFSCME councils and locals are doing the hard work the innovative work that will allow us to cope with these latest challenges. You know, about 3 years ago, we embarked on a campaign to prepare for the future, all of us. And it was called AFSCME Strong, a plan to modernize our union, to put more members first, to build activism, to give ourselves the tools to thrive in any environment. Through AFSCME Strong, we have had over, now get this, 956,000 one-on-one conversations with members and non-members about the value of sticking with their union, looking them in the eye, finding out what inspires them, what moves them to action. And in those conversations, we moved more than 192,000 fee payers to commit to full membership. AFSCME Strong in action. This approach has even made us stronger in right-to-work states. And that's really critical right now because every state is right-to-work in the public sector. Since last convention, we have grown by 25% in Florida, 19% in Louisiana, and 18% in Texas. AFSCME rising up. You know, organizing is the heart and it's the soul of AFSCME Strong. It's not just talking with current members. It's about reaching out to unorganized workers and growing our union by engaging them in our fight, in our common fight. Since our last convention, 18,000 workers have joined AFSCME through organizing and affiliations. 6,500 new sisters and brothers from the Public Employees Union in Northern California. Give them an AFSCME welcome. We need elected officials who will have our back and not stab us in the back. Sisters and brothers, it's never been more important that we put all our political muscle behind candidates who will enhance our voice on the job, who will reject privatization schemes and invest in quality public services, who believe in health care for all, retirement security for all, and democracy for all. And we've had some important political wins over the last 18 months. On the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and in the Nevada State Senate, in the New Jersey governor's race, and in a conservative Western Pennsylvania congressional district. And we've replaced enemies with friends in state legislative seats across this country, including Virginia, where an AFSCME sister named Elizabeth Guzman became the first Latina elected in the House of Delegates. And guess what? She gave the Spanish language response to the State of the Union address. What we need now is more allies. We need more champions, members of Congress, state legislators, and most importantly, governors. 16 weeks from tomorrow, we can elect a new governor of Nevada so state employees can finally secure collective bargaining. A new governor of Iowa to roll back the vicious attack on our rights. A new governor of Michigan so the children of Flint can have safe drinking water again. And a new governor of Illinois who won't be named Bruce Rauner. And innovation. Innovation means taking a hard look at the structure of our union, ensuring that our resources are aligned with our priorities in a way that best serves members. Today in New Jersey, we have a new unified AFSCME Council 63, more than 22,000 members strong. Missouri and Kansas locals have united without Iowa Council 61. Local 3001 in Virginia and our federal employees in Council 26 have come together under the banner of Council 20 in Washington, D.C. Colorado and New Mexico have merged into a bigger, stronger Council 18. And in the Atlanta area, we are bringing Local 1644 and Local 3 under the same roof so we have power, so we can fight back like never before. Our number one priority must be building a more powerful and stronger union. Sisters and brothers, even as we innovate, even as we build a forward-looking union that can seize the future, we find inspiration in our storied past. In order to know where we're going, we've got to know where we've been. You heard the senator say this. You've heard all of us say this. 50 years ago, in Memphis, Tennessee, 1,300 African-American sanitation workers, members of AFSCME Local 1733, did the unthinkable in 1968. They went on strike. It was an extraordinary act of courage, a protest against poverty wages, deplorable working conditions, and straight-up racism. They wanted the city to recognize their union, but just as important to recognize their humanity. With their families, with their communities and their churches behind them, they marched under a slogan consisting of just four simple but powerful words. I am a man. Sisters and brothers, history has chosen us. We must, and we will, embrace this movement moment. We must, and we will, heed the call of Dr. King and those 1,300 sanitation workers. We must, and we will, stand on their shoulders to see the path to a hopeful and promising future. If we do that, and if we stand together in the trenches, locking arms in solidarity, holding on tight and refusing to let go, then the future is ours. The Janus decision is a roadblock, but we will maneuver around it or just run right over it. Time and time again throughout our history, our union has stared down adversity, and we have prevailed. We've always had to fight for every victory, for every bit of progress. Sisters and brothers, AFSCME's been around for more than 80 years, and I guarantee you we're going to be around for 80 more, because we are AFSCME. We are AFSCME. Our enemies can make it harder for us to build power, but they can't take our union away from us. Nobody can do that, not unless we let them, and we damn sure aren't letting them. They don't get to write our next chapter. We do.
That was Lee Saunders, president of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, speaking to the thousands of AFSCME sisters and brothers at the International Convention in Boston. That's the show for this evening. I want to thank our guest, the Municipal Employees Legal Services Supervising Attorney of the Debt and Bankruptcy Unit, Sheldon Barish, for joining us this evening. Before we go, members, the union and the city have agreed on a no-give-back 44-month economic agreement, which provides for a total pay hike of 7.42% and substantial funding for benefits. Ballots have been mailed out to you. The completed ballot must be returned by August 14, so please mail yours immediately after receiving it. Remember, your vote counts, and if you have not received a ballot, call 1-800-529-5218. Remember, if you have any comments about today's or any of our shows, please drop us a line at stateoftheunion@dc37.net. We appreciate the feedback. The producer is Rudy Orozco. The engineer is Andrea Monocchio. I'm Chris Policano. Until next time, ciao.